Anything with the nursing home today? Not today. Amen. All right. Let's look at Acts 13. Amen. And get going. And I guess I'll start reading at 13:13 and just cover just like a couple of verses. And then we'll move to the sermon. The Bible says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any words of exhortation for the people, say on. We'll stop right there. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people that you've gathered together to hear your word. And we just give you praise that we are free to get in your word, Lord God. And we give you praise for your spirit that enables us to live your word. We pray that you'd write your word upon our heart this morning, that we would not sin against thee, O King. And that you would bless us in this area that we're going to discuss this very morning. We want to put you in your rightful place. We want you to be king over us. We want, Lord God, our relationship as Israel with you to be like it was and even better. So bless us as we get in this word and bind out any distraction, disruption, or deterrent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints, we've been in the book of Acts, amen, just kind of going through Paul's missionary journey. And we've seen a lot, amen, so far. Amen. We've watched as Paul, amen, became the leader of the group. We've watched as John Mark departed, amen. We've even observed Paul get sick from malaria. Some would even argue that that was the thorn in his flesh that he spoke of in the book of Corinthians, amen. And last time we were here, we had 2 points that we talked about. We talked about, number one, Perga, which we focus in on that comma. And we talked about, number two, Antioch, Pisidia. When we looked at point number one, Perga, focusing on that comma, amen, we noticed that Paul was sick. The terrain was mountainous. The trip was long. The struggle was real. But even though all of that was true, the Bible saying, amen, that Paul left. He left Perga and he came to Antioch. It was only a comma there. It was only a transition. And we say that the hardest things that you're going through right now, the things that bring your heart low and make you heavy, things even that you're weeping about, amen, is just a comma in the overall story of your life in the eyes of God. This too shall pass. You just keep living, keep walking, amen, and surely, surely weeping will last for a night. But joy comes in the morning light. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. We got to our second point, Antioch, Pisidia. And we noticed, amen, that that city was a Roman colony. And that a lot of the Roman generals from the legions were sent to inculcate, amen, to indoctrinize the people of Asia Minor, amen, into Roman ways. And so they brought all of the Greek and Roman mythology, gods and all of that. They brought all of that. Amen. And they were transforming this Asia Minor place into a little Rome. One of the things they brought was what they would call the imperial cult. And that was the Roman way of worshiping its leaders. And so we saw, amen, the temple cult and talked about how the Romans worshiped their emperors. And so we embarked upon, amen, the topic of man worship instead of God worship. And I talked to you about the Pope, amen. And the word Pope means father, so I shouldn't even say that, amen. Their Pope, I'm going to say like that. And y'all can call him Francis, you know what I'm saying? And so I talked about Francis, you see. And as we talked about Francis, we talked about Rome never changed. They still worshiping their leaders. They still worshiping their emperors. Amen. By giving them titles and names that only belong to Yah, only belong to the Most High. Amen. But we went even deeper because we just don't want to talk about the Catholic Church. We want to talk about all the churches and everything that they're doing wrong. So we looked at the American church and their affinity towards a man right now, Donald Trump. And so we talked about, amen, how the church right now, the American church, is caught up in Trump worship. Amen. And they're running with him no matter what he do, no matter what he say, no matter how he living. And we just told you that eventually that's going to hurt the church. Because what she's doing is, amen, she's excluding groups of people by running with this one man. And so the Latino community, the black community, amen, we've been alienated because the American church is going with somebody, amen, who not living for God, amen, not doing the things of God, amen. And so we feel like that it's a part of man worship, and it's going to hurt the American church in the long run. Come on, give y'all some glory, amen. I just want to continue in point number two, all right? Because in all of our lives, we have a place, each of us, where we can embark upon man worship. And we're just going to stay here for this morning, amen? We're going to continue this topic, amen? And saints, I forgot to mention something, and so before I move into the points for this message, amen, we postponed the camp out, amen, this Friday, amen. But me and Brother Harvey, amen, we're looking at our calendars, and in the next 3 weeks or so, we're going to put it back on the calendar, amen, and we're going to do it, amen, and we're going to do it big, amen. And so all the men, amen, y'all be watching y'all calendars, amen, huh, Brother Harvey? We coordinated, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it big. And so, amen, just watch your calendars, and we're going to do it same place and everything. And so just in a few weeks from now, amen, we're going to do that. And so I praise God for Brother Harvey's sensitivity in working with me on it, amen. And so we're going to do it, amen, for the Lord. Come on, give y'all some glory, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, saints, listen. Let's talk about it. There's some areas, amen, even in everyday life where we put people before God. We're going to start off with number one, or A, our children. Our children. All right? All right. We can also get caught up with man worship. We ain't got to be bowing to Francis to be caught up with it. We ain't got to have a MAGA hat to be caught up with it. All right? It could be happening in your home this very morning. This very day, all right? In your home, you can get caught up with man worship if you begin to put your children before the Most High God. Anybody hearing me up in here? All right? I shared a little bit with you last time out of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29, because that was Eli's problem. Eli put his sons before the Most High. And so the Most High say in 2 Samuel 2:29, he said, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering?" And if you remember Philly, the sons of Eli, amen, were stealing the best meat from off the altar. Instead of them burning it, sacrificing it to the Most High, the boss said, "No, I want that leg quarter. I want that brisket. I want that filet mignon." And so people began to detest coming to the house of God, to offer to God, to worship God, because the sons of Eli were so ratchet. And so God said, "Why are you kicking at my sacrifice? Why are you despising my worship? Why are you allowing your sons to make my people feel like they don't even want to come to my house?" And that was the question that God told Eli. And listen to me good. They wasn't even just stealing the best pieces of meat. They was also sleeping with the women at the temple. Anybody hear me up in here? That was the sons of Eli. And they was doing all that, and Eli wasn't telling them nothing. He wasn't removing them from their authority. And a lot of the times, amen, when you love your children, your love can make you overlook the wrong that they're doing. And the fact of the matter is, you could see wrong in everybody else's children but your own. Oh, yeah, some of y'all are even whip other people's children. Why your child worse than the child that you whip? But it's a love, and it's not a biblical love. It's an inordinate affection. It's an affection that's not from God. It's an affection of the flesh. You see, because true love corrects. True love whips. True love put people in their place. If I really love you, I'm not going to let you act any kind of way because I don't want you to destroy yourself. That's true love. You see, but God saw that Eli had a wrong type of love for his sons. And so he front on them. He said, honors thy sons above me. And that's what we have some people doing. They give more honor to their children than they do to God. You say, Pastor, how we do that? How do we do that? Well, when you're more afraid of offending your child than you are of offending the Most High God, you have just honored your children more than God. They're selling drugs in that house, but you can't go tell them. You more scared of them than you are of God. You love them more than you love God. They bringing them the girls upstairs. They bringing them the boys down to their room. Amen. And you ain't telling them nothing. You ain't telling them nothing. They listening to all that music, amen, with all that filth in it. But because you love them, you see, because it's either love or fear. And we got some scared men of God up in here. They scatter 5-year-olds and 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds. You see? You see? Oh, no, friend. Honorest thou thy children above me, the Most High say. You see? You got to let them babies know. Eli knew what was right, but he didn't tell his children what was right because he loved them. And I want to tell you, that's not a true love. See, the Bible says if you spare the rod on your children, you actually hate your child. If you don't give them what they need as far as whipping and rebuke, you don't really love them, baby. Oh, no, you hate them. You hate them. You know why? Because a child left to themselves shall certainly bring their parents shame and going to end up destroying themselves. And so you tell me how that's love. That ain't love. Oh, no, man. Every time I tell you about yourself, I love you. And I'm going to tell you after I tell you off, I love you, yeah. It sure don't feel like it. No, love don't feel like love all the time. You think the way that God treat us, that it feel like love all the time? You think what he did, Israel, amen, when we forsook him, amen, to bring us through, amen, you think that felt like love? But it was love. Because while we went through, he ain't never let go of us. He ain't never let us be abandoned. He ain't never let us be destroyed. He was always there. In our darkest hours, he always raised us up. Like my Angelou, yet I rise. It was love. But you see, we got a TV definition of love. We got a worldly definition of love instead of a biblical definition of love. Come on, give y'all some glory, amen? It's wrong. Oh, no, oh, no, 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 no. So Eli was like that, bringing in the women, amen, stealing, amen. But let me tell you what else. Eli was also getting fat off the meat his sons were stealing himself. So it wasn't just that he loved them that much. He had a bit greed working in that as well. And we have some mamas know what them sons doing in the backyard. We have some mamas that know exactly where the drug is stashed at in that little ballroom. But they won't say nothing. Because they getting fat off the sin of their children, just like Eli was. They ain't saying nothing. They in the hood. They wearing the clothes from the sin. You see? And that's God saying, listen, you in man worship. You're honoring your sons more than you're honoring me. You done got caught up. And the dangerous thing about getting caught up with man worship in regards to your children, you see, God has always been in the business of toppling idols, yo. If there's anything in your life that you worship above God, God is going to knock it down. You understand what I'm saying? It's either going to be a temporary knockdown or it's going to be a TKO. He's going to knock it clean out your life. What you mean by that? Well, when you put something before God in the area of your children, you'll see that as them children grow old, he'll make the relationship so fractured, so shattered, that the very thing you put before him is now out your life, don't like you, don't want nothing to do with you, and so you find yourself by yourself, and God say, "Nah, what you got now?" We put God first before everything else because he is the only constant in our life. He's the only one that says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I will be with you until the end." Listen, we love our children, yeah, but there's no guarantee that they're going to be with us till the end. No. And so we got to put them in their proper place. And that proper place is under God. But let me go even deeper. And I'm sorry, but I have to go this way. You don't even want to hear it, but I got to tell it to you. You see, I got to tell it to you to save the life of your children. When you put them before God, they might not just play the prodigal and run out on you. But God might take them. God might take them. He take them straight from you. Take them straight from you. He is in the business of toppling idols. And you'll find yourself, amen, after you spit in God's face for them children. After you let them children do every kind of sin, listen to every kind of sin, watch every kind of sin, you honor them above God. God say, "All right, come on, let me take them from you and see what you got." Find yourself like Eli. God took his sons. God took his sons, took both his sons in one day. Find yourself at the foot of a coffin. I beseech you this morning, don't put your children before the Most High God. Come on, give y'all some glory. Oh yeah, oh, he wouldn't do it. He did it to Eli. Not only took Eli's sons, but y'all know the story. Ultimately took Eli too. You see? Man worship. But let me tell you another area in which we fall into this category. Just like Antioch Pisidia, where we began to worship men. See, some people don't worship their children, they worship their spouses. And so we're going to talk about that. And some of y'all, hey man, it's so foolish, the man not even married to you. He not even husband yet. But there you go, sacrificing everything, including your relationship with God, for a Negro that never even committed to you yet. Are you with me here so far? That's why I put up there, spouse or significant other. I could have put boo, bae. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's foolish like that. You see? And I'm going to tell you, man, me and First Lady, we know people. Being in the ministry for so long, we know people. We know people firsthand, where a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend come. After they've been coming to church, they come visit, they start getting in the word, they start praying, John, they start loving this. But lo and behold, a significant other come. A boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, be like, "I don't want you going over that no more." Wow. Come on. Man, we done had it happen. People call us or look at us in our face and tell us, "We love church. We love the Bible study, but such and such say I can't come no more." You know, the Lord never tempt you with more than you can bear. Because that would have been just too much for me. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes he don't tempt us in areas that's not a challenge for us. So some of y'all saying, "That Negro say what? I can't go to what? Boy, watch me leave this house. Boy, watch me. Watch me leave this house. That's how some of y'all would be. But others, just like the children for some going to be the area of man worship, others, that significant other going to be your area of man worship. You might have been alone for a long time. You might have been single. You might have battled with depression. And you finally get that person in your life. And sometimes, amen, that person can be an Isaac in our life. Well, we waited so long and finally God give us what we want, amen, and we begin to worship that person instead of the person who blessed us with that person. Oh, God, I not only saw this with spouses, but barren women. I've watched barren women come and get prayed for, lay hands, wombs open, conceive. And what happens after God blessed them with a child? They begin to put God on the back burner for the child. You see, sometimes when you've been waiting so long for a thing and you finally get the thing, it's easy to fall into man worship. I'm praying right now that our singles and our women of God that's waiting on children would make a deal with God where they sit this morning and say, God, when you bless me with my spouse, I'm never going to put them before you. God, when you bless me with that child, I'm never going to put them before you. Anybody hearing me up in here? That might be the deal that God waiting for with some of y'all. He ain't gave you what you want yet because he know what's in your heart and that you're going to put him over even him. Listen to me now. You know God. He know you're rising up and you're laying down. He know your frame. You see? Make a deal with him while you sit right here. You see? Let's get back to it. As we think of the spouses, amen, we think of Ananias and Sapphira. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 7, amen, we know the story. Ananias and Sapphira seemed like they had everything together, y'all. They was married. They weren't shacking up. They were married. You see? They was in church. They were some tithers, some givers. In fact, they gave property just like Barnabas did. You don't give property unless you got wealth, so you know they was paid. So they paid, they married, they in church. Everything looked great on the outside. But on the inside, God knew that there was some man worship going on. Sapphira loved her relationship with her husband more than she loved her relationship with God. And it came out. And if you in man worship, it's always going to come out. Pastor, why is it always going to come out? Because a man or a woman can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one or hate the other. You see, when you have two masters, when you're working for two different people, a time is going to come when you have a schedule conflict. One master telling you they need you while the other master telling you they need you over here. So God telling you one thing, the hubby telling you another. God telling you one thing, the wifey telling you another. God telling you one thing, the children telling you another. We come in a situation where which master you going to serve? Are you hearing me up in here? Us that love the Lord and have no problem with this, if there be any collision with our God and our other relationships, let God be true and every man a liar. Anybody hear me up in here? And that's just the way it's got to be. All right? But Sapphira couldn't do that for some reason. Their relationship looked good on paper, but she was caught up in man worship. And when her hubby told her that he was going to lie, number one, she didn't correct him. She didn't pull him off aside and say, babe, we ain't got to do that. You just want to do that to look good in front of the church because Barnabas said look good. You're off into the pride of life. Hubby, you need to settle down. And she could tell him that. If she would have told him that, the brother might have been alive a little bit longer. Are you with me here so far? And some of y'all wives keep y'all mouths shut when y'all should be telling them Negroes what's really going on in a very meek and mild way. Just look at him and tell him, nah, we ain't doing that. We ain't doing that. We not doing that. You're in man worship when you're going to follow that husband even into sin. That's when you know you're in man worship. So he lied, and guess what she come do? Come right behind him. And Peter said, Peter, it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Now you see how God do? God gave her a chance. He already knew what was in her heart. This ain't the first time she done put him before God. But right here at that moment was her chance. Her chance to stand before God and choose God over a lying husband. Anybody hear me up in here? But she didn't take her opportunity, y'all. Peter said, tell me. Here's your opportunity. Tell me. And the Bible says, she said, yeah, for so much, even though she knew it wasn't true. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together, you and your husband, to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. She died, y'all. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her right by her husband. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because if you're with them when they're doing bad, you're going to get what they get for doing bad. It's got to be a line of demarcation. It's got to be a line. And listen to me, young people. You're going to get a little opportunity where you're going to love a little man. You're going to love a little woman. And you might even be at that spot right now as I speak. But don't ever let that little puppy love get in the way of the Most High God. You understand what I'm saying? You see, us that done been through life a little while, we know, y'all. Puppy love come and go. Here you are sacrificing everything for this person, amen. And truth be told, a year from now, you won't even have their number saved in your phone. You'll unfriend them. Look, they'll be a stranger to you. Do not give in, amen, your relationship with God. For somebody that's not even, you ain't going to even be with. For a boyfriend? A girlfriend? You see? Y'all still out there with me? Yes. Be careful now. Pastor, how do I know when I worship him more than God? Once again, you start breaking the law. You start breaking the word, breaking his commandments. You lying for them, stealing for them, selling drugs for them, keeping the drugs in your house for them, sexual sin for them, whether it's fornication. And things are a lot more wicked these days. And so, you know, husbands and wives asking each other for all kind of things. You don't, listen, man. We serve the Lord, man. You understand? Look at that. Nah, bro. No. Somebody say no. No. She died, man. She died. She did wrong and she died. But let me show you who did it right in this area. Got a lady named Abigail. Anybody know Abigail? Abigail did it right. Abigail was married to a fool just like Ananias. But she didn't play the fool too. You see, and my examples are women married to foolish men, but we got men married to foolish women too. Are you with me up in here? You see, for every Ahab, there's a Jezebel as well. All right, anybody hearing me up in here? So just like woman of God don't follow Nabal, man of God don't follow Jezebel. Because just like Jezebel died, Ahab died too. Oh, God have mercy. Get caught up in that man worship. But Abigail didn't get caught up in that, Amisha. She didn't get caught up in that. You see, Brother Sam, her foolish husband, you know the story. He denied David victuals that David earned for watching his flock. And he won't shame David in front of David's men. And message came back to David. David said, his own. David said, his own, his own, his own, his own, his own. He put on his sword and like that. We going to do this. He on his way to take care of Nabal. You with me here so far? And while he's on his way, and in his heart he said, I'm not going to let not a single thing male in all of his property continue to exist. While he on his way, Abigail catch wind of what her foolish husband did. And instead of taking his side and being on the side of him when he in wrong, y'all know how some of them do. Yeah, David, yeah. Yeah, David, tell him, Nabal, tell him. And David would have burnt down everybody. You feeling what I'm saying? But what did Abigail do? She got on her steed, her donkey, her horse, or whatever she got on. And she carried herself down towards David. And she fell down before David's face, pretty much saying, forgive him, David. You see, let's look at a portion of her speech in verse 24. I don't know if I put it. I didn't put it. I'm going to just read it. And she fell at his feet and said to David, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy audience. And David, hear the words of thine handmaid. Let my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. Don't regard him. Don't regard him. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, which means fool. And folly is within him. You see how she ain't taking his side? She's saying, that Negro a fool. So please overlook this fool. You see? But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men that my Lord had sent. And she's saying, if I would have saw the young men, David, I would have did you right, man. So she came, she brought all kind of victuals. She made it right. You see, Sapphira had an opportunity to make it right with Peter. She could have went there and be like, Peter, nah. You see? Nah. You see? You can either die with a bad spouse for man worship, or you could save yourself for continuing to worship God. And even more so, you might even be able to give the foolish spouse a little longer to live, like in the case of Nabal. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm just running it. We can get caught up in man worship. Somebody say, I ain't worshiping no man. You see? Let me keep going. Your parents. Yeah, they got some people worship their parents, man. Oh, yeah, you don't worship your kids. You don't worship your spouse. You don't even like them. But mama? Oh, baby, mama? Mama. Mama, you know I love you. Mama, you're the best. That's how some of y'all are. And y'all don't even know, but I bet if I asked your wife would tell me. Well, yeah, you worship mama. Fall out with people for mama. And if mama says something, and God says something else, you're going with mama. And not just mama. We got some daddy's little girls up in here. Ooh, baby. Don't you talk about my daddy. If you would have the man my daddy was. You caught up in that daddy worship. Daddy old scoundrel. You can't see nothing daddy doing wrong. Daddy old scoundrel. I understand. You love him, and I understand that. But be careful with them parents. Don't love them more than you should love them. You see? In Matthew 10:37, look what it says. When it comes to our parents and our relationship with God. He say, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That's what God said. You putting them before me in any kind of way, I'm going to see it. It's going to be proof that you're not really with me. He's saying, he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not what? It's not worthy of me. Got some people that tell each other, I love you more than anything in the world. That sound good, yeah. But hold them up, cowboy. No, no. I tell my children I love them, that's enough. They know what I mean when I say that. But I ain't never tell them I love them more than anything in the world. Because I love God more than them. And they need me to love God more than them. My wife would tell me all the time, boy, listen, thank God I got God, not just you. And when she tell me that, I know her love is in the right place. I don't want her to love me more than she love God. Does God smite me, take me out just to teach her something? Oh, no, baby. Oh, no. Oh, no, baby. Oh, no. Love him. Love him. And she don't want me to love her more than I love God. She don't want that. See, when you value somebody more than God, you don't give them opportunity to be them, to make mistakes. See, because what you need is a perfect love. You're built for it. You need somebody that's going to always be there, always love you, never turn their back on you. Amen. That's what you need. Your heart was built for God. But when you start looking for that love in the wrong places, you get yourself in trouble. It don't matter what relationship you're in, what man you get, what woman you get. You'll be jumping from relationship, from marriage to marriage because you're looking for God's love. And nobody can love you like God. And that's why you keep going. That was the woman at the well. Gee, we're telling you, you've been through six husbands already, baby. Come on, let me get you, bring you to a fountain whose water you drink once and you'll never thirst again. I'm going to give you a sip of somebody's love. Amen. But you ain't going to be looking for that kind of love from no man or from no woman or from no mom or from no daddy or from no children. We was built to be loved by him. You see? When you put somebody else in that category when they do you wrong, that's why you're so broken, so hurt, so bitter, so unforgiving. Because you made them a god in your life, man. And you sit there and you don't give them room for no mistakes. Like they can't say the wrong thing, can't do the wrong thing sometimes. You done made them a god. Only God don't make mistakes. Come on, give y'all some glory. Woo! But back to the parents, man, you can't love them people like that. You know, I love what the Lord said. He said, man, how you say that? Well, that's funny, I'm thinking out loud. He said, how you say that? It's coming, Mike. He said, can a woman forget her nursing child? That's what he compares love to. And you're like, God, that's a strong love. But you don't read the rest of the scripture. He said, yeah, some may. Because you know how long, how strong a mama love is for their child. I watch mother-in-law run through a ditch with rollers in her hand. And look, care fall, take a tumble, and pop right back up, her feet moving in the air. Look, hit the ground and kept going. Look, I'm like, wow, that's love. Come on, mother-in-law, laugh now. You know that's funny. And you know it's true. Hit the ground, that's what I'm talking about. Look, flip over and keep moving. That woman tough, boy. The love of a mama, Monique. You know what I'm talking about? You die right after you have to for that baby. So he said, yeah, it's strong. It's strong. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Yeah, it's strong. That's how I love you. And then he go deeper. He said, yeah, but some of me. Because under the proper situations and circumstances, the devil get them tied up in some addictions and some bondages. Some people have left their children. Not because they wanted to, but because it was a bad situation. He say, some me. But God say, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. Though mother and father forsake you, the Lord will always take you up. That's why his love is the first love in our lives. It has to be. It has to be. Because he the one that loved us the most. He the one who gave us the most. Ain't nobody else died for you. Ain't nobody else wake you up in the morning. Ain't nobody gave you the breath of life. Ain't nobody provide for you like that. Ain't nobody forgive you your sins like that. Don't you ever love somebody like that. They don't deserve that love. They ain't done enough to deserve that love. In Luke 14, 26, he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You see how deep this thing runs? That's why he called himself in the Bible our first love. Our first love. You see? Now let me explain that a little bit. Does God want us to hate our parents? That would be inconsistent with Scripture when he tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise. So we know that hate is not telling us to hate them like that. Would God want us to hate our wives? No. He said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Would he want us to hate our children? Of course not. Train them up in the admonition of the Lord. Give them the rod. Show them you love them. Reprove them. Rebuke them. Amen. He don't want us to hate our children. He don't want us to hate our wives. He don't want us to hate our parents. But this hate is not a hate like me and you would say hate. It's a hate, amen, from the Hebrew way of life. It's a hate by comparison. It's a hate by comparison. It means when I compare my love for God to any other love in the earth, my love for him is so strong, it's going to look like I hate everybody else, even though I love them too. Are you with me here so far? It's a hate by comparison. It's a hate that when the two loves come into conflict, when the love that I have for God come into conflict with the love that I have for mama and daddy and sister and brother and wife and children, when those two loves collide and a decision needs to be made, the decision that I'm going to make for my love that I love God with is going to be so strong, so unilateral, so pervasive, so exhaustive that when I make the decision to go with God, it's going to look like I hate the rest of them. Are you with me here so far? That's what he means. He said, you don't hate him by comparison. My love in your heart, the Most High said, got to be way up there. It's got to be way up there. It can't even have a close second. Can't even have a close second. Though none go with me, still I will follow. It don't matter who go with me. You see? That's what loving God means. With all your heart, your mind, and your strength. It's a hate by comparison. You see? And the Bible go even deeper. It say that you should even hate not just mama, daddy, brother, sister, wife, husband, by comparison. He say even your own life. Now tell me. From a contextual understanding of the scripture, you think God wants you to hate yourself? No, of course not. But by comparison, you should love him even more than you love yourself. And when your desire, your dreams, even your unbiblical desires come into conflict with his will, with his purpose for your life. When what you want for you don't line up for what he wants for you. You love him so much that when you see yourself not wanting God's best for you, you hate yourself for the things that you want. that's not God in your life. Are you with me here so far? You hate, how the Bible say, hallelujah. That's why he said we gotta crucify our flesh. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Because I love him so much, I'm willing to put myself on the shelf so he can get the glory for all that's in my life. Are y'all hearing me up in here? That's why Paul said in Romans, oh, wretched man that I am. When I want to do good, evil is always present. The things I want to do, that's what I don't do. The things I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. And Paul is in this conundrum. It's a struggle for Paul because he loved God that much. How many people love God so much when you see your heart wandering? When you see your heart not wanting the things that God wants for you? It hurts you. You're like, oh God, is that still there? That's the love we have for him, man. We love him more than parents, man. We love him more than sisters, brothers. We love him more than spouses, children. We even love him more than we love ourselves. Come on, give y'all some glory, amen. And there's some in here, amen, God is going to test how much you love him. He's going to put in your life a situation where you're going to have to choose between a man, a woman, and between him. It's going to happen. It is. He always want to see where you're at. Always. And for some, you have no idea how many have come to me and say, Pastor, my parents don't like me here. They don't like me in this church. They want me to be part of the church that my pappy went to. My great-grandpappy. They want me to be part of this religion. We were born this, and we're going to die this. No, no, no. You were born that. You're going to die that. That's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. I need to be where I can hear God and serve God. But some of y'all, amen, y'all feel that pressure from mama and daddy. It's a test for you. You go over there, amen, and you don't even feel comfortable over there. Because they pulling at you, you know? And I want to encourage you, man. You know what I'm saying? Be strong in the Lord, man. Be strong in the Lord. And you stand up for God. And you say, and you tell them straight up, look, I ain't pressuring you to leave where you at. Don't pressure me to leave where I'm at. I'm getting what I need. Before I got here, you saw the way my life was. You didn't have a problem with me when I was running wild. Why do you have a problem with me now since I'm living for God? Like Grace taught me the other day, after you tell him that, you go, check. You check him, baby, period. That's what Grace taught me. I'd be listening to them children. How you do that, Gene? Check. Check him. You know what I'm saying? You can't worship nobody before the Lord. Here's the last one, and we're going to get out of here. Y'all still up out there? Yes. We're going to cover this, and then we're going to go. But I think that this one is very important. I saved it for last. Some of y'all ain't worshiping Donald Trump. And y'all ain't worshiping Francis. Some of y'all ain't got no problem with mom and daddy. Y'all don't really like mom and daddy anyway. You ain't worshiping your wife. You ain't worshiping your husband. And them children, they ain't clue. I got another category for you. Artists, athletes, entertainers, celebrities. Let's talk about that for a little while before we go. Then I'm going to send you home. You see? I want to tell you something in here, Philly, that the idols of our day are no longer wood and stone. They're no longer trees and hills. No longer groves and totem poles of the Old Testament. Our idols are American idols. Celebrities. Movie stars. Athletes. People that could say lines from a script, that can act, that can sing, that can run, that can jump, that can dance. These have become our idols in this day. When TV was first invented, it didn't take them long. In the 20s and the 30s, they realized that these movie actors had become the gods and goddesses of their audiences. False gods and false goddesses. You see? People began to want to look like them. Want to talk like them. Want to walk like them. Want to dress like them. Do their hair like them. See, Pastor, what's the idol? An idol is an object of worship. An object of devotion. Anything you fascinated with, you adore, you obsess with, is an idol. And it draws worship from you. You see, we're supposed to be fascinated with God first. We're supposed to look in His face every day. We're supposed to want to be like Him. See, the problem with worship of man is whatever you worship, you become. Whatever you worship, you become. Because what you worship, you go to every day. You set before your eyes. And what you set before your eyes, you transform into. That's my problem I have with the church. And all these movie stars. See how they call them? Stars. Boy, you ain't hanging in no air. You ain't attached to no firmament. And you ain't shining without no stage light. What they call them? Stars. You're a man. You're a woman. But they are fixing God-like names on themselves. They're coming out, they're having split personalities, having two names. And oh, y'all heard about that? Well, Pastor, it's okay if my children listen to this and follow this. Oh, no, it's not okay. Because whatever you worship, you become. Well, Pastor, what's the problem with that? A lot of these entertainers and athletes, they're not living for God. They're doing drugs, sexual immorality. They're dressing like people that's, And we wonder why our little cousin, we wonder why. But when we set them in front of the TV to watch them, that's what they see. And so that becomes their definition of beauty. What you see and what you watch and what you worship, you become. Oh, it's okay, Pastor, for them to watch the BET. It's okay. Oh, no. Because why they dancing like that? You come home and guess what? They're going to be dancing like that too. What you watch, you become. What you worship, you become. Why are you letting them do that? Oh, God, y'all don't want to talk. Why y'all don't want to talk this morning? Why y'all don't want to talk to Pastor? We just trying to put Yahshua in his proper place in our lives. You don't let them watch that. And not only that, you don't watch that yourself. You see, worship is a subconscious thing. Meaning that a lot of the times you don't know when you're worshiping somebody. You don't know when you're obsessing over somebody. And in the age of social media, you could find yourself always checking where they at, what they doing, what concert they, what city they in, what they bought, what they wearing. I always told the church, if you want to find somebody to be like, two sections. Number one, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. That's number one, Yahshua, the author and finisher of our faith. Secondarily, find a man of God close to you in your life. A daddy, a mama, an uncle, somebody that's really serving God. Find somebody like that. Paul used to tell them, follow me as I follow Christ. But you see what the devil has done? See, back in the day, it was a boy's father that was his hero. It was a little girl's mama that was her definition of beauty. She'd be up in there walking in her mama's shoes. She'd be up in there trying to look like mama looked. But we set them in front of a TV. And we've given them new heroes and new definitions of beauty. And for the Hebrews, that beauty don't even include us. So now we got our little girl wanting to be a whole nother race. Y'all ain't ready for what I'm talking about up in here. Y'all ain't ready. They don't want their hair natural. Yeah, it's all over the place, but that's how it come out my head. And I'm all right with that. And you should be all right with that too. Hebrew to the core, baby. Just checking. Celebrities, athletes, entertainers, worship. And some of them be atheists, y'all. Or caught up into some Tom Cruise Scientology. But you got your children watching Mission Impossible. All right. The American idols always tend to lead us and our children away from God. This is why we're going to start our own entertainment. We're going to start our own acting and arts. You ain't got to go down there and watch them people movies. If we get good enough in here every Friday night, you can come in here with your boo and with your family, and we can come watch something. Problem is, we ain't going to be eating no popcorn in here. This is the sanctuary. We're messing around eating popcorn, ordering a hot dog. Not until we get big enough and good enough to get the Hyman Center. You understand what I'm saying? And now we citywide. They all coming in. The Hebrews all coming in. And we acting up in them. Get them cameras right. Now we filming. Now we making movies. And we making movies that don't stereotype. Don't discriminate. Don't make us, amen, as though we not beautiful. We making movies now that have an accurate depiction of the Hebrews in history. Woo! We ain't putting no crazy dress up in it. It ain't gonna be all this and all that. No. I don't care how they do it. That ain't happening around y'all. Well, they're not gonna watch it. Well, don't let them watch it. We gonna serve the Lord. Let's do this, man, and let's do this right. Listen, man, them people be making money off our gifts, man. Our jokes, our acting, our plays. Go back and see them. Some of the movies, man. Thing was written by Hebrews, man. Let's get the gifts back in the house. Let's get the gifts back in the house. Let's get the gifts back in the house. Put Yahshua in his proper place. Come on, give Yah some glory. Hey! Hallelujah. Where my brother at? Carlos, you can come on up, Carlos. We done, man. We're going to get out of here, man. We talk about a lot today. But I'm praying in my heart that a flashlight was going on in here. A flashlight, not of physical light, but of spiritual light. Shining on your hearts. Have you put anybody before God? The good thing is, if you're still here, you got a chance to repent. Good thing is, if it's not too late, the very thing you put before God that he took away from you, he took it away because it was in the wrong place. Now, what happens if you put it in the right place? God might bring it back in your life. A miracle might happen, and he bring them people back in your life. If you can hear me, I'm giving you the answers to the mysteries of life up in here. Everything is about order in God's creation. If you seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, then all these other things are going to be added to you. That's how we trying to live at the Tebow home, yo. We try to put God first. We try to put him first. And it don't mean we don't like athletes and celebrities. It don't mean that we don't watch anything. But I ain't watching nothing that's rated R, or I ain't watching nothing that's gonna defile my character before my God. I'm not getting into no stuff like that. I'm not gonna do that. We done established that already in our house. I watch football and turn my head when they show the cheerleaders. Help me, Lord. Because it's always that, Kev. They always trying to put something in there to mess a child of God up. We just got to keep him first. Ushers, if y'all can open up the altar, the gates. If you're here today and you've been feeling some people, some things pulling your heart away from your God, you know, put some people before him. Or if you're here and you want to be saved this morning, we admit we sinners, we believe in Christ, we confess him as our King. Fill it, the altars open. Come and stand before your God as we pray to him. As we pray to Yah. Yeah. I think some of the singles gonna get a breakthrough today. I think they finally know what God want right now. I think some of our childless women and men gonna get a breakthrough today. Because they finally know what God wants. I think that some who have fractured relationships with children going to have those relationships mended. You see, when a man's ways please the Lord, he make it even his enemies to be at peace with him. If you get your vertical relationship right, the horizontal one's going to come right as well. That's a picture of the cross, baby. We got to get back to the heart of sincere and true worship. Worship.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Well, it's all about you.
Come on.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
We're gonna pray, man. We're gonna pray. It's gonna be a breakthrough day. It's gonna be a breakthrough day. We're gonna pray. It's gonna be a breakthrough day. I'm telling you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
somebody out here, say with me, say, Father, Most High God, I thank you for loving me first. If in any way I put anyone before you, I am sorry. I repent. I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you love me. You died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you rose with all power. Lord, save me. Forgive me. Cleanse me and use me. Help me to get back to a heart of true worship. I put you first in my life, in my family, and in my business. You are number one. Please restore everything that I have lost or that has been taken because of my disorder. We put it back in order this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give y'all some glory. Hey! Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you. Bless you with shalom. With shalom. With shalom. With shalom. Shalom. Elmo. Shalom. 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 Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. What's up, Mom? Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
Here I am. Woo. To worship.
Shalom. Shalom.